You are listening to the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. This is a collective of creators and callings that bring us together. Here are your hosts, Aziza and Candace.
Hello! Welcome to episode 39 of the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. I am one of your hosts, Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens. Let's welcome my co-host.
Hello, I am the co-host. I am Candace, aka Inks and Anchors. We're ready for the fun, so
let's hang out. I think you should actually be Inks and Chores.
And Chores.
Like, I am Gourmet.
I'm a chore.
And Chores. Okay, so, dear listeners, we have an idea. And the idea is, I think, very exciting. It's exciting for me. So I'm going to just present it to
you. Guess whose idea it was.
I am biased, or as the cool kids say, based. So we're going to do a three-part series thingy. And the first part is this episode. We are going to talk about what we would love pen makers to know about pen lovers. So from the point of view of customers, who is us, and pen fans, and I mean, just fans of makers' work. So we're going to talk about that. And then we are going to put out some forms that are going to be anonymous. And we would like to gather feedback from pen friends where you share what you would like makers to know, or just general thoughts. They could be constructive. They could be positive. Please do not be unnecessarily mean, because that will be discarded. That's not helpful. And then part three will be feedback from pen makers, also anonymous. We would just love to offer their thoughts to the pen community. I mean, most of us are very lovely as pen lovers and customers, but even so, maybe there are things that pen makers wish we would know or consider before communicating or commissioning a pen or something. So this is just an idea that we have to facilitate, improve, make the experience better for everybody. So it's like a performance review, but a nice one. And then to wrap this up, not really wrap up, but the next episode after this three-part series will be epic, because it's going to be a discussion, kind of a touching on the topic again of how and why we sell pens from our personal collection, because really, I just want to know what Candace has bought and what she has sold in the next couple of weeks. It's like a fascinating case study. It's so much fun.
You're assuming that I'm going to be buying or selling something in the next two
weeks. I am assuming. I feel like she's down. I think she's taking this as a challenge. But that means you will have to listen on to find out all the things that we have been purchasing. And because we are no longer counting the number of pens we have, because that's a stupid rule, it could be chaotic.
Most definitely will be chaotic.
It will be chaotic. So while Candace and I were discussing this, Candace asked me, have you played with your pens from the Baltimore Pen Show? And I said, no, Candace, I have not even inked them, which is embarrassing. So let's get going. Should I just throw you into the topic?
Well, you always do. So yes.
I do. I like it. It's fun. What would you like to share with pen makers?
I think the biggest thing for me, and I get that they're busy, and most pen makers are not full-time pen makers, right? Mm-hmm. They have other jobs. But for me, the big thing is communication.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
Right.
Or...
like that's a turnoff if... there's no communication.
There's no communication. Or just, right. You know, if you tell me it's going to take 12 weeks before I get my pen, no problem.
Right. Like, you don't mind waiting.
But you know what?
That's not the issue.
I'm doing? I'm opening up my little journal and I'm counting 12 weeks.
I think they don't know that Candace is cray.
I know. So I'm counting 12 weeks and I have in it, pen maker so-and-so says this pen will be ready. And I will wait. I will not wait 12. Like, I will give them leeway, right? Maybe 13 weeks. I might then just say, hey. And I'm not saying, where is my pen? I'm just saying, just checking in.
Like, are we still on track?
I would like to know, is there an updated time frame? Because clearly, I don't say this. It didn't make 12 weeks. But I would just like to know, is there an updated time frame? Just so I know, right? Because the whole thing is, we're crazy. You're absolutely right. We're absolutely crazy. And we want all the pens. And we
try really hard to be patient,
right?
Because But it's a compliment. We're excited to get your work.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in some cases, and I'm sure you're going to hear about this maybe from the pen maker's perspective, but in some cases, we pay the money up front or half the money or whatever, and we don't have communication. I think that's not good. And even if we don't pay any money, it's a business transaction, right? That's the pen maker's decision to not ask for a deposit. So that's fine. But
right.
still,
it's still a commitment from both people.
If you tell me 12 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, you know, just respect that. And I respect the fact that life happens and it may not be done in 12 weeks, but just let me know.
Yeah. And also specifically for you, you have a separate pen budget. Is that correct?
I do.
So if you commission a pen, and even if it's going to be like 6 months away, you make sure that those funds are allocated for that particular pen.
Yeah. As soon as I commission, the money's gone. It's like it's gone from my pen budget.
Right, right. That is very responsible. Meanwhile, I'm like, I should have that in 6 months. But for you, you are actually committing the moment you make the decision to reach out to the maker or whatever, request the pen, commission the pen. Okay. And I have to agree with you that communicating is essential. And I don't really care about the deposit or no deposit. I know some makers have told me that the deposit actually makes them feel like
pressure, yeah.
And I don't want to give them pressure,
right?
Because I really think that producing pretty ink sticks should be fun for everybody, not just the people using them. But not just in terms of communication for like, oh, here we are on the time frame. I think a lot of makers, because they may not be doing this as a full-time gig, they might not have their websites or their Instagrams or even their details when they reply to someone ironed out to be able to say, here's my process. Here is what you can expect. And of course, that takes planning. But I actually probably owe a maker an apology because in the past, I did commission something from them. I did pay the deposit, but I completely misunderstood what I was purchasing, like the commission slot on their website. And so the time came and I was like, okay, I really want this pen, partially because I have the money ready for it right now and it's not going to last. But I misunderstood what the slot meant. It's kind of confusing. But if I was not distracted, I probably should have asked sooner. Like, can you clarify this for me and then purchase the slot?
Right.
So that's totally on me. They graciously handled it, but it's not just like the communicating once it's commissioned.
Right.
I think it's important to communicate what the whole process is, what someone can expect before they actually go through the process of saying, yes, I want to do this with you. And this is the material. Here's my deposit.
Yes.
Oh, it's always communication. Communication always makes relationships work.
It sounds really trite, but it's so true. And then just, you know, the shipping. I've heard it's not just small maker. It's not just, you know, custom pen makers. It's companies as well, right? They take your money. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like, thank you for your purchase. We are getting your order ready. And then you wait and wait and wait and wait. And then 2 weeks later, you say, did you ship my order? And then it's like, oh, I shipped it today. What a coincidence, right?
Yes. And you just want to know because who knows where the order, they could have missed it. It could be an error.
For sure.
I mean, when that happens to me in the shop, because it's only me processing orders and packing, and I am just really, really not somebody with a good constitution. I just am half dead 90% of the time. So if something wipes me out, I can't pack, which means I can't get orders out. And what I lie in bed thinking about the whole time I'm supposed to be recovering is, oh my God, I really want to get this order out because I know the excitement. So I have to like sickly email a partner and be like, can you please send an email for me? Or can you help me get these email addresses so I can just let them know I have your order. I'm really, really deathly ill in bed and I will have it out to you as soon as possible just so they know I haven't forgotten them, but I'm also not just taking advantage of the fact that with shipping, if you're not Amazon, it's not always instant.
Yeah.
You know,
I just had a recent experience actually with not a pen maker, but a YouTuber on Instagram, The Wet Pen.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
His name is Matthew Gore is his name.
Okay.
I was not familiar with his work. But
he's the one who makes the inks, right?
Somebody from Slack had said, this person I follow on YouTube, he makes great pen videos, and he just made some ink and is selling his ink to support his channel because his videos are of a quality that I think takes a while to and they're beautiful videos.
Right.
And so I was, anyway.
Like, unlike you and me. I'm just kidding. Because we haven't put anything out in like a month.
I look at videos like that and I can't even open the editing app because I'm so.
That's why you purchase the ink to support those videos.
I'm telling you, it looks amazing. So anyway, I was interested in the inks. I didn't purchase all of them. There were three that he made, two that looked interesting enough that I could justify purchasing them. But this is just a long way of saying that he himself, I think, is a chemist or something of a science background. He made the inks himself, like he actually, and he tested them. And I guess within 2 or 3 days of purchasing the inks, I got an email to say that, I'm sorry, I can't mail them out. As I was packing them up, I noticed something was wrong with the ink, or there was something in the ink that I decided to remake the batch of ink. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, was great that he was communicating that, which was, of course, troubling, too, because I thought, if there's something wrong with the ink, right? But I guess he actually did. He communicated almost to a fault, because if he'd waited 2 more days, because he said he would ship it out on Monday, not the Friday, that would have been like 4 days or something, 4 or 5 days, which is not unusual.
Especially for one person doing something like making ink.
Right. Yeah. And making and bottling and labeling and boxing and all of that. I was really surprised. But in the end, and he offered to cancel. He said, if you want to cancel it, you can cancel it. Of course, I'm not going to cancel it, right? Like, it's just this one guy.
I want your inks.
They're great inks. The ones that I purchased, I really love them. But that was an example of excellent communication, right? Almost to a fault. Like, you almost didn't really need to, but I'm glad that he did in the end. And it showed, I think, his character that, you know, he wanted you to have a good experience. So
That's really nice though. I like that, because I'm a nerd, so I would like to know those details. There are definitely larger manufacturers who send out inks that get slimy, and there's obviously not somebody opening or looking at each bottle as it's bottled, and whereas he is able to do that because he is making the batches.
The wet pen.
Okay, well, the wet ink would make sense too, right? I think that's really cool. But also, to me, that builds solid rapport.
Yep.
And in the future, if he was unable to just let me know for whatever reason, I would trust that the delay was something like legit.
Legit, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I would give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's part of what building the reputation and rapport with people and customers is about, and why it's important.
So
customer service.
It's the worst.
It is the worst, because I mean, as a small shop owner, like, I probably care more than I should, or I care more than one person that
can handle.
Yeah, like, that I can handle, because, like, even if it's in the past, like, if I have gotten a message that was kind of mean, and even if it was an error that is honest, it's like, she's small. I didn't mean to. Like, it's just one person.
It's just a mistake.
With questionable function. So it's like, I try to, when I am feeling well, and same for makers and small business owners, well, anybody, while you are capable, when you are able, do the best you can to make sure everyone knows you have, like, build a good reputation, so that if something does happen, people are still going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because they know this person is not just like some dodgy schmo who's going to take my money and disappear. It's something real. It's something valid. I mean, it could be anything. I don't know. It just makes me so sensitive. It's just like, I'm so sorry.
So, Aziza, what's something that you think a pen maker should know from a pen lover?
This is why I put you first, so I could just say I agree with Candace. But I would love to see a clear, streamlined process explanation of what buying a pen, like commissioning a custom pen looks like. And we probably should do an episode on that, on how you approach a maker to do this. But I think it would be in the best interest of a maker to say, here is my process when a customer approaches me, so that, because it's going to be different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I've dealt with makers in the past where I have probably made them want to kill me because I send them 3,000 messages on Instagram and like clarifying, like, oh, here's what I'm really hoping for, or here's a picture of the material that I would please include this section in the section, like in the barrel. And they're probably like, okay, and I also feel really bad about it, but the procedure may not have been clear enough for me to convey that at earlier steps. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what would be ideal. Most that I have worked with are very responsive, particularly on Instagram, and probably because that's where they're sharing their work. And I also feel really bad when I send them a message at midnight and they reply in 30 seconds. And I'm like, get out of your shop, go to bed. So I just a process, an explanation of what to expect before you commit would be really cool. And I mean, these are not inexpensive pens, right? Because even if you're at the low level of the price list in terms of commissioning pens, I think you're still looking at like 120 US and up.
Yeah, at least.
Like, I mean, 120 would be very, very...
Would be buy that pen. just buy that.
It's like you could decide later. Yeah. Just buy it now. And I'm not saying that the prices are not worth it. I'm just saying it's not a small expenditure. Right. And so having a clear process for someone who may be going from something like a preppy, mm-hmm. which is, you know, $5-$10 to like a $200 custom pen, it can be scary. And you want, I think for a maker and as a pen lover, it would be really cool if there was just some way to understand, to know what to do. And because when I also first started, I was very intimidated to contact makers because I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it's because it's scary, right? Because you don't want to look stupid. You don't want them to think, oh, this is a newbie. But I was a newbie, and someone is going to always be a newbie. And even if you're not, some people just want to know.
Also, I feel like having the process set out is a good thing, but some pen makers are just brand new, right? And
yes,
they may not even have a process, or they're kind of winging it as well, right?
Yeah.
So, and they don't have a website, because mm-hmm. that would be a good place to put your processes on a website to say.
There should be like a pen makers group.
I think there is.
Yeah, but we're not in it because we're not makers. So I don't know where it is. I don't know if you're a new maker, you're looking for this info.
Yeah.
I don't know.
On Discord, I think there's a Discord channel or
thing.
Something.
Yeah.
But for me, when I was new, still to this day, I'm kind of intimidated having to message the maker just to find out how much the pen is.
Right.
Like, they've posted something and they've said, oh, available, DM me.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but I don't know if I have the money and I just don't know. But I really want to have an idea because I would like to know how much something like this costs so that I can save up for it, or, you know, assess it in my head whether it's.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have done that in the past. I've just said, listen.
Yeah, because you're crazy.
Well,
like your passion will override your intimidation.
Yes, yes. And I've messaged them and I've said, I would love to know how much a pen just like this would mm-hmm. cost, because I have no idea what you charge, because I've never purchased a pen from you. But also, you know, this one has like a custom clip and it has all these materials and it has, I know that the more materials you use to glue stuff together probably mm-hmm. escalates the price.
Right.
Possibly, right? And then if there's internal polishing, I don't know if they charge extra for internal polishing, all of that. But I feel bad when I know I don't have the money right now and I'm not in the market, but I'm just doing research, right?
Yeah.
And I say that up front. I say,
you smarty pants.
I'm not buying right now. I just need to know. And, but they've all been really good about.
They have been, but it's like, if they say, even if you are looking for a pen and you do have some funds ready or willing to commit, but if it's out of your range, it's also like, I feel bad saying I can't make this commitment right now.
Right.
You know, and then I feel bad because it's like, oh, I wasted your time to message you and be like, oh, how much is your pen? And then I can't buy it right now, but I do really like your work. And they're probably like, no, no, I'm sure they're not. I'm all the makers to be honest, all the makers I've dealt with are very gracious when I ask about a pen, the details. But maybe that's something that makers could do. They do say available, DM me, but maybe they could just put a price range.
Yeah.
Like similar pens range from X to
some
whatever.
Some makers do put the price. I think Russ Pens is one of them that actually lists the price whenever he posts his pens.
Yeah.
But it's rare. Not everyone does that.
It is rare. And the thing is, I think when you are fiscally responsible, that is something that you'd like to know. When you're not fiscally responsible or responsible in any way, you don't care what the price is because you're like, I'm going to buy this pen. It doesn't matter what I have to sacrifice to get it. I will eat like chicken broth or whatever, veggie broth.
Ramen noodles.
Ramen, those can be expensive. but like, you don't care what the price is. You're willing to commit to it, but someone else might not be willing or they might not be able. So I would like to just have a rough idea. And also so I don't take up their time to Instagram message them or even send them an email or whatever their preferred contact form is. Just to say, I just need an idea of what this pen costs, but I'm not going to buy it right now, but I just want to know so I can prepare myself for the future.
Yeah.
So I am, it's, but again, that's a form of communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like, just give me details so I can make a decision that will make your life easier and my life less scary, like less stressful, and that I don't have to take up your time for something that is not critical, like not like this is the piece of material I require.
Right.
On the finial. This is the grade of polish I require, you know, like everything.
Okay. So speaking of polishing.
Oh, no. Okay. I know where this is going.
This is a pet peeve of mine. Not a pet peeve.
A pièce d'importance.
It's very important. It's extremely important.
Yes.
I think pen makers, please work on your polishing, right? I think that's very important. Like it'll make or break.
Fantastic feedback.
It'll make or break a pen. So I don't know if he's going to want me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway because he's a cool dude, right? So Rich at River City reached out to me. I'm going to say it was during COVID, maybe before, right before COVID, maybe, I can't remember. It was a long time ago, a few years now, right? And he said, you purchased a lot of pens for me. Is there any feedback that you could give me?
I mean, that's really nice.
That's really nice and brave, right?
Yeah.
And I just said,
I would pre-cry if I was him.
And I just said to him, I loved his pens. His pens, one of his models in particular, the Westwood, is one of my favorite models in terms of the size and the feel, the comfort. And I said, I just think you just need to work on your polishing a little bit because you should be able to hold up your pen for a glossy finish pen, hold it to the light, and you should not see any interference, right? You should be able to see like its shine, complete, no interference. And Rich's pens, his newer pens, and for a while now, has been top notch. It's been polished
to a T. Feedback. Yeah.
I'd like to think he did. I mean,
obviously this was Candace inspired.
It was. So totally. It is, his polishing is amazing. And I just think that I think it makes or breaks a pen if the polishing
absolutely.
Is not. Because you've heard my stories. You've seen
my
pens that I've received both from new makers and experienced makers that ended up not being polished at all the way it should be.
Not up to par.
And I'll encourage, maybe the pen makers don't like to hear this, but I encourage every pen lover receiving a pen that's not up to par to nicely contact the pen maker and just explain why you're not happy. Because if you're not happy, they're not going to be happy because you're just
But they also won't know if you don't tell them, right?
Exactly. But it's also going to be really bad because you're just going to end up either talking about bad things about this pen maker when it's something that they just, maybe they're having an off day. They're human after all, right?
Yeah. Maybe they just missed it. Maybe the light was funny and they just didn't catch it.
Right.
You never know. Yeah.
Right. I think you should just nicely contact them and just, you know.
I think most makers are quite receptive to feedback, constructive criticism. And it's not like, I hate you and I hate everything you've ever done. It's like, I love this pen. And here's how it could be absolutely stellar. Because there have been pens and there are pens that I have purchased and I got it. And I'm like, holy beep. Because it's just so well polished that it's like actually glowing.
Yeah.
And I it's shocking because it's like when you take something that is done that well and compare it to something else in your collection that might not be as radiant, it's kind of like, I wish all my pens were tended to to this degree.
Yeah.
So, but it's also on us to give feedback to makers of I love what you're doing. I love this pen. I need some more polish on it. Yeah. Just because it's, if nobody tells them, how are they ever going to know? And there are some that are like polish freaks. So that's something they like to focus on. And to be honest, especially for internal polishing, I would much rather a maker spends more time, makes that thing just absolutely spectacular. I would be willing to pay more for extra time rather than get something that's like not well done and it's kind of,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah,
cloudy. So, I mean, it's a pen. It's a luxury item. So it's totally fair that you charge for your time and the quality of what you're putting out. And the market will bear what it can.
Yep.
And crazy people like Candace and I will continue to buy pens because we have problems.
Yes.
No one's denying this. And the whole point of this episode is to convey to makers that we love you. Like, thank you for making us pretty pens and for dealing with some of us are
crazy,
crazier than others. But this, the whole point of this is to share feedback that can improve your game as well, your pen game. It's supposed to be positive and hopefully helpful in whatever way. And if there are new makers, the only way to learn is by going through it and learning from others. So hopefully we have been helpful. The thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars we have spent on pens will hopefully,
oh my God,
be useful.
Don't even say that.
But no one's denying it. No, so, but it's been over like many years, so it's okay.
Many, many years.
Many years. So it doesn't even count. But we're very grateful. So thank you for making us pretty instincts.
Ink sticks.
And tolerating the pen crazies. I don't want to overload makers with any more of our thoughts. Are you good with this?
I'm
like
good.
This is
I think
the
we're
key
good.
Points,
yeah.
Right? Okay. So for dear listeners and also makers, there are going to be forms, anonymous Google thingy, Google Docs that you get to fill out. And we will have questions in there and a section where you can fill in other thoughts. We will compile these and we will share them in our next two episodes. And the whole point of this is just to make the pen world happier. So that's all.
That sounds good.
Yay. I have pens over there. They are watching me. I'm going to go fondle them. Thank you for listening. Please join us again. If you had fun, I don't know, just spread the love in whatever way. And okay, like by sharing or something. So stay ink sane, stay incredible, and stay inky. I am Aziza, signing off.
And I'm Candace, Inks and Anchors, signing off.
Bye!
This podcast was sponsored by Gourmet Pen Shop. Need some tools for slinging ink? Samples to explore? Hop on over to gourmetpenshop.com and consider supporting us by picking up some cool new stuff. And if you like what you hear, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Write it down.
I do. In my platter. My platter.
But write your feelings about your sale down.
No, I remember.
Are you sure?
Yes. I actually haven't sold anything, really, because no one's counting anymore.
Isn't that way better? It's like, it's so much better. And I mean, I've been very reasonable, so.
You mean like in Baltimore?
It's like, I have 4 hours to, well, it was supposed to be like 6 hours, but it was not in the
end. Have you used all your new pens?
Candace, I have not even inked a single pen. Which is awful, because they're really cute. And I really want to. It's just I haven't been able to sit down and actually play with them. But you know this.
I know.